Blog Talk Radio.
You know what it is. It's your boy Despo Beats. And I want to invite all the up-and-coming artists, producers, managers, anybody that wants to get into the entertainment industry, come on over to the show. You know, listen in, call in, Skype in. Come on over, listen to the show. Let's build. You can find me on the web at www.desmobeats.com. That's DESMOBEATZ.com. Holla at me, hit me up. Once again, that's www.DESMOBEATZ.com. Desmo Beats.
What's up, everybody? What's up? What's up? What's up, everybody? How y'all doing out there? This is Brother Thunder 89. Wait a minute. Give me that goddamn microphone, boy. Let me show you how you do a commercial. What's up, everybody? How y'all doing out there? This is your evangelist, your apostle, your bishop, Reverend Gitmo from Sending Out Baptist Church down here in Kagan, right, Mississippi. Oh, yeah. Let me tell y'all about this dynamic show that my little nephew, his nappy-headed ass, oh, excuse me, host right here. It's called, y'all, Free Your Mind Radio, right here on the Culture Freedom Radio Network, which y'all can hear it every Monday at 6 p.m. Central Time. I'm kind of proud of his little badass, you know what I mean? Yeah. Hey, y'all, for the best in everything. Yeah, that boy talk about some of every goddamn thing on this show here. Oh, I ain't supposed to be cussing, I'm supposed to be a rim. Hey, y'all, but don't forget, y'all, 6 p.m. Central Time every Monday, y'all, for Free Your Mind Radio, hosted by Brother Sunray 9, y'all. I am your evangelist, I'm the bishop, y'all. Reverend Gitmo from Set It Off Baptist Church. Culture Freedom Network is most definitely in the house, in the house, in the his house. Yeah, Reverend Gitmo, I'm out of here.
Something he wanna say. I know you love me. I can tell by the way that you kiss me. Tight when you hug me. Took me to school the very first day. Gave me a piece of buttercup. Sent me on my way. I know it's frightening. I can tell by the pain in your eyes. When the rent was laid again. Too strong to fold. Being on your own. Lord bless the soul. Mama knows love.
Mama knows love like the backbone. Used to fall asleep daily in the workflow. Mama swear you never have to worry again.
Mama, I swear you never have to worry, no, no.
Mama knew love like the backbone.
Mama knew love.
Used to wipe feet just to make the ends meet.
Oh, no.
Mama swear you never have to worry again.
A bright and early, right. Scrambled eggs, right. Swelling in your legs, right. Bills on the bed, still you managed, right. To show me a smile, right. Then walk to work about, right. 2 or 3 miles, Mom, I'm gonna struggle with you, I'm gonna help you see the bigger picture, you gave me something to walk and take away, you make it so easy to say. I love your mama.
Mama knew love like
a mama knew love.
Used to fall asleep daily in the workflow. Mama swear you never have to worry again.
You never have to worry again. Mama love you. Yeah, yeah.
Mama knew love like
mama knew love.
Used to wipe feet just to make it easy.
Mama
swear you never have to worry again.
No, no, no.
Mama knew love.
Mama knew love.
She gave me love,
crazy love,
crazy love,
crazy love, crazy love,
so much love,
mama knew love,
mama knew love,
crazy love,
she gave me love,
she gave me,
crazy
she
love.
Gave me, gave
so
me everything, mama,
mama knew love, back to back, whoa.
To worry.
Mama knew love like a factory. Used to
Yeah, what's up, family? What's up, what's up, what's up, what's up, Isaiah? How y'all doing? Isaiah and Radio Lad. Yeah, welcome in one more time, y'all, the Free Y'all Mind Radio. Hey, hey, hosted by none of your brothers. It is Brother Sunray 9. Up in the house on this Monday, y'all. This is September the 15th, y'all, of 2014. In the light of the day, in the house with you, man. Yeah, just cruising and cruising and cruising. And getting ready to do something else different for y'all tonight. Hey, y'all, I'm really not going to do a live talk show tonight, y'all. Man, hey, I know y'all wanted to hear that. But, hey, don't forget, I got some of those still be live. I'm going to go back into the archives and pull out something for you tonight. Well, I did a Black Liberation show with my sisters, Mama Pearl, Mocha Soul, yeah, and another guest that called in like a long time ago, Black Achievement, y'all. We're going to get back in here to the night and just play an archive show to show some people that Brother Sunray 9 hadn't changed, hadn't wavered from his style and hadn't wavered from reaching out to the people, you know what I mean? So I just want to show here tonight, y'all, we're going to go back into the archives and show that how Mama Pearl and myself, we've been soldiering on this thing for a mighty long time. We've been in the fight. We've been in the struggle for a long time. We just didn't pop up on the scene as of yesterday. Yeah, yeah. And I did, I wanted to do a live show and come on and just talk, but Brother Sunray, right now, I'm kind of like in a frustrated mood. I'm kind of in a mode where I'm kind of upset right now with some of our people. And let me kind of explain a little bit why, you know, I say that I'm in that way, in that manner. Because a lot of y'all know we had this thing called the White Jesus Challenge, right? And yeah, I said the White Jesus, burn the White Jesus Challenge. I forgot that part right there. Burn the White Jesus Challenge, which was actually put together. Let me cut this music off right here. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, peace to our sister Teresa in the house. Peace to your sister. How you doing out there, first of all? Let me get that in there. Peace to your sister Teresa and everybody else that's out there. And Radio Land is listening. Yeah, peace to y'all out there. Peace in the house. Yeah. Let me go ahead and explain this a little bit. Now, Brother Savannah Black started this thing called the Burn the White Jesus Challenge. A lot of y'all know about that one out there, man. I know y'all know about it. It has reached all over the internet. It has went viral, man. This thing has went crazy. It had went like an epidemic. You know, even Brother Sunray, I partook in that challenge where I even did my challenge of burning the image of that so-called white Jesus. But the whole point of the matter was that it was not about this so-called person named Jesus. Because even in the challenge, right, my brother Savannah Black said that it wasn't against Christianity. It wasn't against Jesus, you know what I'm saying? and he said, and the sister said, well, what about the black one? He said, I didn't give a damn about the black one either. So it wasn't about this person called Jesus, whether he was real, whether he was fake or whatever. It wasn't about a historical Jesus. What the challenge was about is getting rid of the image because of what it was used as an instrument, let me say, as a tool and an instrument against racism against our people. Yeah, how can that image been used as a tool against our people, Brother Sunray? You got to explain that a little bit more. How can a picture been used as an instrument or a tool of racism? Well, check this out. There was many different levels to it, how so-called white folks use different things to hold people in check, whereas they're slaves, rather, their property in check during slavery. And that image of that so-called Christ or that so-called Jesus Messiah, right, it was used as one of those tools because, you know, they had a scripture they used to teach the old Negro preachers back in the days when they're doing slavery. They wouldn't let them read. Y'all remember that. They said it was against the law for black folks to read during slavery. But they had the preachers, right? They would teach them the Bible. And one of the scriptures they would teach them, I forget this, exactly what the scripture yet. It's somewhere in Ephesians. I forget it. I'm kind of rusty on this right now with that. It says, obey your master. Talking about obey your master. And most people, when they taught you Christianity, as there was one rule in slavery is that doing servitude slavery, or an indigenous servitude, they said taught the people if they whoever converted to Christianity, right, they would set them free if they converted to Christianity. Do y'all history? That's in the history books. And so a lot of them did. They converted to Christianity and so forth just to get so-called set free. And but Father here, but going on to what I'm saying is, so you said if they gave you an image of a Jesus and they said that was your Lord and Savior, and most of them said this is my master, and then you looked at that image, and then you looked at the other person that you was calling master, which was the plantation owner, hell, you don't know the damn difference. You looking at your Jesus, the white Jesus on the wall, as your Lord and Savior, your master. And then you got the slave master out here. Same goddamn thing. So when it says obey your master, which master were you really talking about? Were you talking about the Jesus, or you talking about the slave master that's standing out there with the whip? I don't know. You just didn't goddamn it know. But this image that was used, always used and perpetuated against our people during our oppression. So that's why we had Brother Savannah Black say we got to get rid of this damn thing. We got to get rid of that image. Image. See, a lot of people got caught up on the word, that word, Jesus, and they started taking about, well, he didn't exist anyway. That wasn't the goddamn challenge. That wasn't the challenge. That wasn't the issue. If he existed or if he did not exist, that wasn't the goddamn challenge. It was to get rid of this image that was used for racism, white supremacy. That was what it was all about. Fighting against this thing called racism, white supremacy. So many of our people, you know, they missed the mark. They misunderstood it. And I think a lot of people, they did understand it, but they just want to try to rechannel the thing. They didn't want to piss their good white folks off. They didn't want to piss their masters off. You know what I'm saying? So they tried to rechannel the shit and divert it and make it and go somewhere else with it. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm getting. Because I know goddamn well with all of this consciousness that we say we supposed to have, right? Ain't nowhere in the hell you missed a less simple thing as that. You know what I'm saying? Talk about the burning the image of the Jesus. So we keep on getting, you know, we were getting negative comments and stuff on it, which, you know what, I expect to get that out of white folks. Because you was burning the image that looked like them. They was, you know, want to call us black Muslim racist and all of that good stuff. Okay, fine. I accept y'all comments, negative comments, which y'all was saying, because it was expected for that to happen. But, you know, we had a lot of our own people, right, so-called black folk, that we say we fighting to liberate. And I know goddamn well everybody ain't on our team. Everybody that's so-called in black skin, dark skin, ain't on our team. We know that. But a lot of them, were even coming out, you know, against what we were saying and what was being said about the burn the white Jesus challenge. But one more time, I really just want to reiterate how a lot of people just start coming out, you know what I'm saying, trying to down, even black folk, trying to downplay what our brother Savannah Black had did with that challenge, trying to get rid of this goddamn image of racism, white supremacy. And I'm going to give y'all another scenario of what they did too also, just not that image. And this is why it was one part, one key part about what they used in their tool of oppression. Now, a lot of y'all probably, I don't know if y'all probably remember how they used to say how black people came into existence, right? Through the curse of Ham, you know, through Noah. You know, Noah, the curse. And they said that we was cursed. We was a cursed people. We was a cursed seed because when Ham looked at his father's nakedness, and then it said there was going to be a curse on Canaan. They said that's how black people came into existence. We were a curse. We were turned black because of that by Ham looking on his father's nakedness. That's what they say, because they say Ham means black. And, you know, you go to the Bible and you look that up in the Bible and it say, you know, dealing with the genealogy and all of this, and then they tell you Ham meaning black, and they said that's how we came into existence. And they taught this lie for I don't know how many damn years, and it was during the Southern Baptist Southern Baptist Coalition, or yeah, Southern Baptist, Southern Baptist Coalition, that came out so many odd years ago and actually openly apologized for spreading this damn lie. Yeah, yeah. Like I said, do y'all history and do y'all research on it. So that's why Savannah Black said we're gonna burn all this damn shit that's dealing with racism in this part of religion. It ain't to deal with the religion. It ain't to deal with Jesus, but it was dealing with the racial aspects of it that people tried to perpetuate. Because now in the Bible, it tried to say that when they tried to describe this person that was called Jesus the Christ as a Bible. Now according to the Bible, it says he had hair like lamb's wool. I mean hair like lamb's wool. Feet of burnt brass. Feet of burnt brass. That didn't look nothing like no goddamn European cracker. It didn't look like nothing like no goddamn Michelangelo. It didn't look nothing like them. Like a Justin goddamn Timberlake, did it? That don't describe none of them. So it was just a false image, false thing. So a lot of our people were just going into talking about even, you know, bringing up the black Jesus. All of this old stuff. I mean, we didn't give a goddamn whether he was white, black, turquoise, green, whatever. It wasn't about that. It was about getting rid of this thing, this image that was associated with racism, white supremacy, and how to use this as an instrument against our people to try to hold us down. Like I said, that was just one aspect. So when Brother Savannah Black came with that, he knew what the hell he was doing. So one more time, y'all, for anybody who's still looking at the challenge and maybe hadn't seen it and want to know about it, break it down one more time. It has nothing to do with Christianity, trying to destroy Christianity or take away your Christianity. It has nothing to do with this person or whatever, or that concept of Jesus. It has nothing to do with that. Let me say that. I got to make sure that's clear, because I think a lot of y'all just fucking straight out retarded or what. I got to be honest with you. I got to say it. I'm trying to hold back a lot of shit that I really want to say, because, you know, I want to get real disrespectful, because a lot of y'all did some disrespectful stuff in the process of what that brother tried to lay out. So it had nothing to do with a Christ or a Jesus. It had nothing to do with an actual historical figure, a make-believe figure, none of that. It was to get rid of that goddamn image, let me say it one more fucking time, of this white supremacy, racism, white supremacy. So anytime y'all keep on coming out, trying to throw these comments out, and trying to downplay what this brother did, I think something wrong with you. I think something fucking wrong with you. You fucking straight out retarded. I won't have to say that. You know, you're straight out fucking retarded, and you're trying to play games with what this brother was doing and trying to downplay what my brother did. And I took the challenge too. And I take it, if you try to downplay, if I took the challenge, you're trying to downplay what we did at the process. Because my brother put out the challenge, I stood behind it. A lot of sisters and brothers did the same thing. So if you were fucking scared to do it your goddamn self and stand up and try to watch as we try to help liberate our people, stand your motherfucking ass on the sideline and shut your motherfucking mouth and just sit there and be like on the football field, pass the goddamn Gatorade when we get motherfucking thirsty. That's what you do. But now, that's enough of that. I'm just sick of these goddamn people always want to play fucking games when we trying to do stuff to help our people. These niggas, if y'all don't want to get into the fight and do nothing, stand your bitch ass out the way. Go on over there with the white folks where you want to be at. That's where you really want to be at any goddamn way. Go on over there with them motherfuckers. Get out of our fucking way. We tired of this shit. Y'all always want to play up on us like y'all really trying to work with black people or the black people and trying to do stuff, but you're always tearing down your people. No matter what, your people come up with a solution or a strategy to try to fix our situation in our community and what's happening with us, it ain't never good enough for y'all niggas. Y'all always want to say, I don't think that'll work. I don't think that'll work. This ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. You're always complaining about shit. You complaining about the goddamn problem. Then somebody come up with us a problem. That ain't going to work. What the fuck is your solution then? We know it ain't no one-way fix with this thing. It's not a one-way fix. When people ask me, well, what you think the solution is? I said, brother, shit, I can't tell you the solution. And I would not be able to try to sit here and tell you a one-way fix because it ain't. Like I tell y'all, it's many different venomous snakes out here. You can get bit by different venomous snakes. So when a snake bites your ass, you got to know the right anti-venom to give that person. You know what I'm saying? Because we all been bit by different snakes. Yeah, I said it. We all been bit by different snakes. So we got to have the right anti-venom to fix our problem. We all don't go through the same problem. Yeah, at the source a little bit, we talking about this racism, white supremacy. Yeah, it's the same source, but it divides itself out into many functions and makeup. Know what I'm saying? So we ain't all got the same. It ain't the same thing that's going to fix all of our shit. You got, you know, some of our folks out here hung out on drugs. Some shit, I don't know. They into this, they into that. We all got some, like I said, some people want to say, well, some people just sprung out on religion. So we gotta have a goddamn solution to that, how to get them out of that. So we got to have a solution, different solutions for everything. So you have to know the person, what they're going through, to even be able to help them. It ain't a one-way fix. I'm going to say that one more time. So if y'all the ones that's out here, every time somebody's trying to come up with something, great solution, you don't have the fucking, you're not really here to help, but a lot of y'all are here to actually hinder. Man, I'm going to ask you one more time. Stay the hell out of our goddamn way, because all you are doing is you really ain't hindering the process. You just bumping the goddamn road, really. We're going to do it with you or we're going to do it without you. It don't make a goddamn difference. And I got a clip I'm going to play, y'all. I got another show. I said I'm not going to do no talking, and I got a clip that I'm going to play. Let me see. Let my sister, my person come in the house tonight. We're going to let y'all hear how my sister on prayer, we've been going in for a long time. This ain't nothing new to us. We've been fighting this fight for a long time. And we're going to let y'all see whose side we've been on and who we've been teaching for a long time. We've been teaching and reaching out, helping our people. Some of y'all, I don't know what fucking team y'all on. But let me bring my own prayer along before I get in this clip. Peace to you, sister on prayer. Peace.
Yes. Peace, righteous peace, and love to you, my brother. Just listening to you, you know, getting that poison out of your system. You know, I'm glad you did. But I just, you know, I told you that I had a revelation, you know, and I was going to share it, you know, mm-hmm. on myself. I think this is a perfect time to do so. Meeting brother Savannah Black, you know, spiritually. And, you know, and his relationship with that pale, fake image of, you know, Jesus, you know, was the same as mine. But we also had a spiritual relationship because, you know, now that, you know, the man no longer walks on this planet, his spirit is now able to move wherever it wants, like the wind, because I'm not the only one who feels this divine spirit, you know, so did you. But I had a problem, you know. I knew the facts, you know, and I told you, you know, everyone, I know that I believed in this man, Jesus, whether I've never met him, but I believed that he walked this planet, and I know that he was a black man. There's just no doubt about that. But I had a hard time you know, accepting of the name Yahshua didn't fit me, okay? I knew that was one of his names, okay, the name, but it just didn't fit me. But I knew that the burning of the white Jesus was also going to break some spells, and I selfishly knew that it was going to break another level of spells for me. So as you all was doing that, you know, and I'm, you know, saying Jesus, you know, and Yahshua, and when I said Yahshua, like maybe for the third time, you know, what I did was you know, it's like I came up out of my belly with Yah, and sure, I kind of breathed back in, and I breathe out again. So that's the three steps, and I felt this warming sensation, this spiritual divinity that just filled me all the way up. And I'm telling you, I knew I went to another level. And you can, you know, equate that just like buying a pair of new shoes. You don't throw out them old comfortable shoes until you get those new shoes to fit in. But I want to give thanks to you, my brother. Forget about what those people are saying. You guys have done a wonderful thing. It's what I needed, and I'm sure it's what so many other people have needed as well. So I give thanks to you and my brother, Savannah Black. You know, that was a huge, huge thing that's happening. And like I said, that is one of those earthquake in diverse places because the world is still shaking. Still shaking. That's all I wanted to say. Big ups to you all, and I love you.
We love you too, Sister Peace. Free to land. Yeah, we're going to play. We're going to get into this clip also, Sister. Y'all going to hear more of Mama Pearl in here. We're going to go back old school. We're going to go on this clip here, y'all. We're going to do an actual show. We're going back to June the 19th, 2010. Like I said, it's the show that how we're doing is nothing new. It's nothing new how we've been going in. We showed that we hadn't been wavering in. We hadn't changed up. We're not stopping. We're going to let y'all see that we always been reaching out to our people. And it's going to continue. This is who our struggle is with. And also, I got to tell y'all too, all folks, family. Oh, I can't forget this one right fast before I get into this clip. Don't forget to go out and check out Mama Pearl show from last Thursday, Strange Fruit Rising, y'all, from last Thursday. Historical show. Historical, y'all. Man, we had a chance to speak to living legends, y'all. I'm talking about living legends, Mr. Herman Ferguson. And Mama Pearl, what was his wife name? One more time, Mama Pearl.
Ialua.
Yeah. Living legends, y'all. Living legends. Mr. Herman Ferguson. Y'all going to look Google search that name. Mr. Herman Ferguson and his wife, Ialua. Some real pioneers in this struggle. 94 years of age, Mama Pearl?
Baba Ferguson is 93 years old.
93.
Still with us in December. He'll be 94.
Still in this revolutionary fight, y'all. At 93? 93 years of age, still in this revolutionary fight. So y'all go and check that out. Drop some great jewels. And one of the jewels I got a lot of them from him. But one of the ones he really made me think about and he reiterated, and it's one of the things that we are doing to each other. He said, we have lost focus on who our real enemy is. We're looking at each other as our enemy, and we have lost focus on who our true enemy is. That's coming from a brother who's, like I said, y'all, one more time, I got to say that, 93 years of age. Now, a lot of us, we have changed now. We have taken sides with our enemies and don't look at our enemies as our enemies no more. We say, well, and they even spoke on Obama, because I was just going to say, because as we look and say, well, Obama's in the White House now, hell, things have changed. Ain't no more that Sunray, ain't no more that we shall overcome shit. We have overcame. When a man is 93 years old and been fighting in the struggle for long as he has, and he tell you you still has an enemy, oh, y'all better pay attention. Like we always talk about our elders. That's an elder. 93-year-old elder was there in the struggle. I mean, there with Brother Malcolm standing by side, was there at Malcolm X assassination. I ain't talking about just seeing it on TV, y'all. Read it in the newspaper. He was actually there. Y'all going to look up Brother Herman Ferguson to read his autobiography. And when he telling us that, the elders tell you, know who your enemy is. And I love it. Even they even broke down the whole thing about the Ferguson, Missouri case. Well, not the case, but they touched on it. They still see what is happening, y'all. And y'all just want to play goddamn games and want to pity-pat and hold hands with white folks. Man, you out your damn mouth. Let me play this. Let me go ahead and play this show, y'all. It's like an hour and 30 minutes. Mama Pearl in the house on here, y'all. Mama Pearl. It's old school. Mama Pearl in the house, y'all. Let y'all see. Mama Pearl ain't been no joke forever. Never been a joke. That's why I love her. Let's get into it, y'all.
Blog Talk Radio.
Playback.
Fuck it. drummer. Music hitting your heart, cause I know you got a soul. Listen if you're missing, y'all. Swinging while I'm singing. Giving what you're getting. Knowing what I'm knowing. While the black man's sweating. In the rhythm while I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need. Our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We gotta fight the power of that beat. Fight the power.
Brother Savannah Black was fighting the power, y'all, when he burned up that goddamn white Jesus, y'all. That's fighting the power. Yeah, we ain't joining the power, goddammit, by burning no motherfucking black Jesus. We burning the motherfucking white Jesus. We fighting the power, y'all. Get ready to get into it, y'all. Just gonna get ready to start up. I remember now, this is Sunray before he really just grew into himself. Like I said, there's an evolution and change that we all had to go into. We always keep learning. So this is me right here growing, y'all, and learning.
Once again, I am your brother, Sunray 9. And this is the Sunray 9 show coming to you tonight on this Saturday night, which is the 6 month, 19th day of 2010. Yes, this is your brother, like I said, Sunray. Oh, yeah, I have another good topic for you tonight, and it is really entitled The Black Liberation Show, because actually is all about liberating our people. And as I had in the description of my show, I had a few questions, as always. It says, how can we liberate the minds of our people? And how can we take back our communities? And can this be done? And what happened to the Million Man March and his plans to liberate our people? You remember they was having all so many agendas that they wanted to set forth with saying that they was going to do so many things in our community with the Million Man March, and they had so many so-called councils and liberation, not liberation, so many councils and committees that were set up to be able to put some things and organize some things in our communities. But as we look back now and see what happened to all those promises that was promised during the Million Man March, and, you know, we know there's a lot of money that was, passed and that was taken, collected during the Million Man March. But just forget about the money right now. But what happened to all of these plans and suggestions that they had and all, you know, the things to help liberate our people and, you know what I'm saying, and help the conditions of our people? What happened to all of those things? And like I said, we must liberate the minds of our people. And just for the sake of even knowing what liberate, what I mean by liberation and liberate, I took from the Webster's dictionary, or how he defined words, old Webster here, the word liberate, he defined it as to free, to release from restraint or bondage, to set at liberty. And it has another meaning dealing with in chemicals, to free from combination in a compound. That was to liberate. And the word liberation, as Webster also defined it from his terminology, he said the word liberation means the act of liberating or the state of being liberated. And we also had liberator. One who frees his country from an enemy or a tyrant. Because we can look back over our history of time, we had a lot of liberators who came in our midst. To name a few great brothers, we go back to Noble Drew Ali. I go back before his time. I have to keep him in order. The Honorable Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Noble Drew Ali, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his ministers, Malcolm X, was a true liberator for the black man and woman here in America. And the list goes on and on. And today, you know, I take out who was my teacher who raised me up, the Noble Dr. Malachi Covina York, known to a lot of people to the Dr. Malachi or Reverend Malachi Z. York Ill. So, and I can't leave out, I'm sorry, I left out one name, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. You know, all of these people were liberators, because like liberators, what it says is one who frees his country from an enemy or a tyrant. But, you know, we can take that word, it says country, but we came to liberate, and we got to go back with the word liberate mean. It says to a release from restraint or bondage, to set at liberty. And this is what these people were trying to do. They were trying to liberate their people, or liberate us as a people, you know what I'm saying, to set us from the bondage that we were in, not just that slavery mind bondage that we was in, but we also have a bondage of mentally. You know what I'm saying? We have a mental bondage on us. So, you know, it's just some of the things I want to get into tonight, right here on the Sunray 9 show, and I would love for you to join in with me, and please give me your thoughts, share your knowledge with me tonight as we shared with the rest of the people who is also listening, because your insight is very important, you know what I'm saying? Even though I get on here and sometimes I try to teach, but I'm also a student myself. You know, I try to learn different things on a daily basis. You know, my mind is always open to listen and trying to learn, because there's, you know, we have a big, vast, not want to say universe, but a multiverse. So there's numerous things to learn, you know, and in my mind is open to learn at all times. I don't care who it may be or what organization you may be teaching. I'm always open to listen. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times I may not say I agree, but it may be some things that you might say that will resonate in my mind that I can take from it. And like I said, sift through it like flour and use it. So help me out tonight, family. Let's see what we can do to, you know, bring some liberation to our people, because we look out on the news and see the things that's going on with our people here in America. You know, it's all over the world, but I'm really focusing right here at home, here in America. We can see things that's in our community. You know, how our people, man, we in a bad state. You know what I'm saying? To say that a lot of people saying they are conscious and, you know what I'm saying, they have so much conscious, you know, awareness. They coming up with all of this metaphysical stuff, Kabbalah this, and it just a lot of people talking about they so conscious now. But why are people in a state that we're in? You know what I'm saying? It's a bad state that we're in. I got on my YouTube, my Facebook video that seen this little girl. I know she couldn't be no older than maybe, I would give her 3 or 4 years of age. With some guys, this young girl was cursing, like they said, cursing like a sailor. Calling, talking about what she was going to whoop some girl behind. And I'm just trying to clear up the conversation, what she was saying. But she was going to whoop her A, calling the girl, saying she was a B and an H, and saying you MF this. And, I mean, this is the... I mean, couldn't have been, like I said, no older than 3 or 4 years of age. I mean, was going at it. I thought it was a old, you know, adult, you know, who just don't know no better, you know, way to carry her conversation. But she had some adults that was holding her in her arm and was asking her questions, like, what you riding on? She said, I'm riding on 24s, bitch. What you think? I mean, she said, I'm riding on them deuces. I mean, they encouraging her, you know, to say these type of things. So, and that, you know, what are we teaching our youth, for a matter of fact? What are we are teaching our youth? What are we instilling in our youth? You know, so it's a tough thing, you know. It just saddens me, you know, a lot of times, like, to see the condition that we are in. And I will say one thing, and I'm going to quit ratting and raving here, because I get sometimes on a tantrum, but a lot of times I look at it and I kind of see, and I say to myself, you know, we talk about the civil rights movement, and we look at it talking about, you know, so many years ago we had a struggle. And I look at it and I say to myself, we were better as a people as far as coming together in unity when it seemed like when we had something to struggle for. You know, we said that we were trying to struggle for civil rights, and we were fighting for civil rights, and we were fighting for equality, as we were trying to, you know, saying back then, you know, for equal rights and things of that nature. Hell, I guess like using the same restroom as white folk, drinking out of the same fountain, going in the same, don't have to go in the back door of the theaters and going in the back door of the restaurants. I guess when we felt that we had a true struggle, we were more united as a people. But now, I guess it seems like we don't have anything to struggle for, and we're more divided now. So that's how I look at it. You know, maybe I'm wrong at things, but maybe, you know, y'all can help me out. You know, because like I said, I'm still a student. I'm trying to learn, but that's how I look at things. And I'm like, man, you know, but we still have a struggle. We actually do, but a lot of people don't look at it that way anymore. But if they were really sit back and look at the conditions of that we're living in, you know, and the things that's happened to us, we still don't have equal justice. You know what I'm saying? We don't have that. There's a lot of things that's going on. I listened to the show. They was talking about there's still slavery here in America in 2010. I'm talking about actual slavery here in America in 2010. So there's a lot of things, even though it's covered up, not like, you know, the old days. But we still have a struggle, but people don't see it in that matter. So I don't know. Maybe that's me, but I know Mama Pearl and Mokoso, y'all gonna help me out tonight, and y'all gonna teach me something tonight. You know, it's always good to see the goddess in the house. Because, you know, and they said that the mother is the first teacher. And I love to learn from my sisters and my goddesses. Because, you know what I'm saying, I have to. You know, because my mother, you know, my father was, you know, he was there. He was a good teacher for me also. But, you know, my mother, she is instilled a lot of things in me. You know, like they say, there's nothing like that motherly love. And even though we have so-called Father's Day tomorrow, but it's still, we have to go back to that goddess. So I need your sisters to help me out tonight and give me some good input on what you think. Yeah. So I want to play one clip here, the audio clip. I was looking for my big brother Eric to come in and help me out tonight. I didn't get a chance to speak with the brother. And I know he worked. He was working today. Maybe the brother is tired. And I apologize, I didn't get a chance to have my show last week because I was having telephone problems. My phone was kind of staticky, so I was waiting on Comcast to try to repair my phones. So I didn't want to be on the air, you know, sound like I was stuttering or anything. You want to be like Moses. And I didn't have an Aaron to try to come and help me out, to, you know, to make a speech. So so that's how it was. Okay, let me get one clip here going, and I'm going to play one clip. And we're going to get right in onto the show. And I see I have a call in. And I'm coming right at you.
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask who yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you. We teach you to love the hair that God gave you. Here you way out in the middle of the ocean, can't swim, and you worried about someone that's in the bathtub and can't swim. We don't steal, we don't gamble, we don't lie, and we don't cheat. And that also deprives the government of revenue. Because you can't get into a whiskey bottle without getting past the government seal. You can't open a deck of cards without getting past the government seal. Here's a white man makes the whiskey and then puts you in jail for getting drunk. He sells you the cards and the dice and puts you in jail when he catches you using them. So he's against us because we fix it where he can't catch you anymore. We take the dice out of your hands and the cards out of your hands and the whiskey out of your head. The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. And the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women.
All right, all right. That brother there, he needs no introduction, but I'll say it anyway. That was the late, great brother, Minister Malcolm X. Yes, sir, that was my mentor when I was first getting into knowledge, when I first came around. Man, I really thought I was Malcolm. You know, I got out, I was whooping the devil. I was real militant. You know, I was on them. You know, I had got the Malcolm X glasses. I shaved my bearded mustache just like Malcolm. Man, I was flat-footed Malcolm and incarnate, that's what I thought. Well, yes, sir, that was Brother Malcolm, you know, teaching that, you know what I'm saying, we must respect the woman, you know what I'm saying. But the woman has to, like I was saying week before last, we have to respect our women, our sisters, our goddess, but she must first start to respect herself so others will start respecting her. But that was a good audio. But, yes, I have a caller online, and I actually have your line open. Area code 478, you are on with Brother Sunray.
Greetings, Sunray. This is Mocha Soul. How are you?
Yes, greetings, and how are you?
I'm well, thank you. I don't really have a question as so much, more so a comment. You know, and listening to the clip that you just played and just observing, always listening, it just saddens me that in 2010 that there's still so many obstacles as people that we have to overcome. Self-contempt has obviously sought refuge in a lot of our souls, and I doubt seriously that, let me not word it that way. We are not to blame, I don't think. Now, nowadays, so many of us in the so-called conscious community that know better, I wonder how we're failing and what we need to do to step it up and step our game up. Everybody in the conscious community, the so-called conscious community, is not conscious, okay? And it's time for those of us who are true and real about this to call them out and let them step aside so those of us who are chosen to work hard and do this can do what we have to do. And how do we need to step our game up? Brother Sunray, what do we need to do? Because it's 2010, we are still filled with a lot of pain. We are not, you know, the sins of yesteryear, we're hardly healed from it for those things that happened to us. What are some of the things that you think we need to do as a conscious community to step our game up and just, you know, get through these trenches and to help and to heal and to rebuild? What do we need to do?
That is an excellent question, and sometimes I wonder that myself. But like you said, a lot of people who we say that in the conscious community are not conscious, because we do have a lot of so-called leaders out here who were at one particular time teaching the conscious, true consciousness, and were waking up people and were cleaning the people up from what, you know, from the, to the mental dead state that we were in, and they were making a difference in the community. But it somehow, I don't know if these people actually got what went wrong, where they got sidetracked, or whether they were approached in a way, and now the people just, you know, is it for the money now? A lot of, you know, the people, the so-called leaders are just in it for the money, or what is it? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. A lot of people speak about the boule. And I see and I research a lot of these brothers who were really on the forefront for helping our people are really affiliated now with a lot of these organizations. That is really a tough question. You know, and I speak to a lot of our brothers, my brothers every day, even when I'm on the job. I never stop trying to teach our people. I don't care, you know, where I'm at. You know, a lot of them, they say, man, you better watch what you say. Man, I'm not going to watch nothing. You know, hey, my people are suffering. You know, hey, if I get fired, so what? Hell, I know how to maybe go out here and create my own if I have to, whatever. But I have a mission that I have to accomplish. And, you know, it's kind of hard. You know, there's a lot of times when I think that I can get together with other people of a same mindset and do something. It seems like those people I think really be on my team to help, You know what I'm saying? They turn. They're not really into it. And so, you know, it's all about, like they say, they want to be scholars. They want to sell books, and it's all about book sales to them, and want to just keep our people, you know, in so-called, I don't know, just book knowledge. You know, and that's really not helping our people. We have a lot of smart people. Like I said one day, you probably not been on the show. Like I said, there's a lot of things, like even the Obama administration, the brothers had a letter where they had posted from an advisor in Obama administration, where they had this thing that's on his table, right, where they have a bill to reinstall chattel slavery. Now, there's actually a bill on the Obama's table. And they said it was going to be activated in Washington, D.C., starting off. But, you know, that's a predominantly black, you know, city. But this brother has a bill on his table that one day is going to be signed and going to be passed. And so, like I said, you know, these things are known to a lot of people, but there's no one is saying anything about it. And but, you know, like I said, when I tell people about it, they want to say, oh, man, you know, you just talking crazy. That ain't going to happen. You know, this ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Then you start giving them examples of things that's going on now. They want to know it. And then, like I said, what I was saying, but go back, I kind of lost track. But what I was saying about that chattel slavery, I was telling them, you know, and they got this FEMA camp. They got so many thousand of these preachers who been told if something kick off, they got to be to organize people to go to these FEMA camps. So I was like, you know, we got a lot of so-called people who so-called scholars out here and so intelligent. I said, we're going to have a lot of intelligent-ass slaves on, you know, in these FEMA camps. So you want to talk about, you know what I'm saying, you got Moors fighting against Moors. You know, I studied Nawabu. We got a lot of Nawabians fighting against the Moors, Nation of Islam brothers fighting over here with each other, and this and that. But I said, all of us going to be somewhere on these FEMA camps, intelligent as I don't know what, smart as hell. But you're going to be smart as hell somewhere in slavery. You're going to be an intelligent slave once again. If you don't try to, you know what I'm saying, and you know what is going on, but you try to, you know, take a blind eye to it because you just so stuck in arguing with your brother over doctrine, that is the doctrine that you've been fighting and arguing about for years hadn't did anything for us in the first place. So, you know, it's a tough situation. You know, I don't know myself. I'm scratching my head every day like, man, what am I going to do? Just sitting in my little, I live in an apartment building, and I look out just in my little small community. I said, man, what can I do? But the only thing I can do is, you know, talk to people. You try to make them aware of what's going on. You know, some of them, you know, they kind of see it, and they try to take heed to it. But some just go on like, hey, you know, whatever. You know, so it's whatever.
I mean, and there's a lot of people, Sunray, that are not, everyone is not for everything. I realized that when I was growing up, my dad pushed me to read certain books, and he didn't necessarily push my sister to read the same books because he saw something in me. He knew, I've been a writer for the community since I was really little, and he pushed that. He didn't ignore it. He pushed it because my dad was a Pan-Africanist, and he saw that in me. He saw my love for it, so he pushed it. You know, and everything is not for everyone, so he didn't push my other siblings necessarily to do those same things. Those of us who know we've been called. We know we have been called to do a certain thing and to have a certain mindset and to do a certain work. We have to work harder. And those who pretend like they're conscious, I think a lot of people get caught up with how good it sounds to say I'm African-centered, or they love the clothing and I wear African garb, or and they want to change their names and they want to spit out certain greetings in various languages to sound good and to sound smart. And I listen to them like, man, are you serious? I mean, if you're going to be serious, be serious. But I don't care. You know, some of it is irrelevant. Some of it is irrelevant. The summer hasn't even officially started yet. I believe it starts officially on Monday. We've had murders already in our community. We've had deaths. So many catastrophes already. And everyone just wants to sound cool and wants to sound good and let everyone know how many languages they speak. And I'm not saying that those are not honorable things and those are not great things, because we're great people, we're smart people, but a lot of it is irrelevant. What are we going to do? There are children. There's a child down the street from you right now. Those of people who know Mocha Soul, the Mocha, I used to have a show, the Diamond J and Mocha Soul show. I'm about to go solo, and next week will be my first show by myself. It's been, I've never had a show alone, but everyone who knows me knows that hunger is my pet peeve. There's a kid right down the street from you today that did not have three square meals today. Mm. That shouldn't be. There's something seriously wrong with that. What are we going to do? There are people who are hungry. There's a lack of perception of education in our communities. And there's a lot of people in the so-called conscious community that are not doing what they're supposed to do. There's a lot of bullying on Blog Talk Radio and a lot of shows. And it's crazy. It's disgusting. And instead of, you know, us putting our minds together and forming these groups and whatever we have to do, you know, this one is mad because this one is a Christian. This one is mad because this one is a Jehovah's Witness. This one is mad because you spend all day arguing about what religion you are, and you have got, you didn't get anything done. You didn't get anything done. What have you gotten done? Nothing. Okay, you had that professor. Yes, you read that book. Yeah, I know, I know. You read The Miseducation of the Negro. Oh, you love Shankanta Diop. You love, I know, great. Now what are you going to do? Because everybody loves to brag about how smart they are and how many books they've read and how many controversial professors they've had. All right, now what's up? What you going to do? That's my beef, okay? It's played out now. What you going to do? You know, I just think we waste a lot of time. We waste a lot of time. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent.
Oh, no, no, that's good. Mother Pearl, I'm coming right at you. I just want to make this one quick statement like she was saying. You know, like I said, and I have read a lot of books. Like I said, I studied under the great teacher, Dr. Malachi Ziyorg, and I studied a lot of books, and I studied even, and I have, man, a library full of books that I studied. And as I studied, I just had to sit down. I said, man, okay, how are these damn books going to help me to do other things to my people? And I'm saying, like I said, you know, seeing a lot of things that's going on around me with my people. I said, man, I can't get these people really not studying no books. Like you said, there's people, there's other things besides this book. Like I said, there's children hungry. There's the children not getting a meal. Children need clothing. There's other things that's going on. And I'll tell you one thing, when I first came in, when I first really started getting into the knowledge, I actually came in through the School of Islam, and actually Sunni Islam. And
really?
I'll tell you, there was something that I experienced that I'll never forget in my life that was very touching to me, and I'll never forget it. And one thing we did, it was some other brothers, we had a mosque. We went out and we pulled our money and resources together. We went and bought, you know, all different kinds of fruit, and we just picked the apartment complex to go to. And we just got our fruit basket, and we went knocked on door to door. We didn't care if you were Christian, Muslim, Jew, whatever you wanted to be. We knocked on everyone's door. People were standing on the corner, and we were passing out fruit baskets. And we just wanted to get out in the community and do something. That's what I'm saying. We don't have anybody in the community just reaching out to people. And, I mean, people's like, man, who are y'all guys? What are y'all? You know, we didn't really just get into that thing about, well, we study Islam. We didn't even try to propagate no doctrine, no nothing. We just said, hey, look, we just trying to give back something to the community.
Yep.
And I was just getting
right
into the, man, that was so touching to me, and I never forget it to this day. And I was like,
right,
man, now this is what it is. This is what I'm talking about. I like this. So, like I said, even with all those books that I read, I mean, that don't do nothing for me. If I can't give back something, physically, you know, the doctrine, knowledge is good. It's giving, it's something for them to learn.
And you know
what can I do, like,
I don't want
to teach that homeless
think,
baby?
I don't want anyone to think that I'm discrediting reading or,
no,
or believe me, I went to college a couple of times, you know, but
yeah.
I just think that I don't want us to get away from the actual rolling up our sleeves and helping.
That's
all.
It. What we're going to do physically, you're right. Okay, let me get another pearl in here. All right, 678, your line is open. You're now on the air.
Oh, praise to the Most High. Hi, this is Mama Pearlie.
Oh, yes. Yes, who may we be speaking with, please?
This is Mama Pearl, the ancient newcomer. How are you, Sunray?
Okay, yes, greetings.
Greetings.
I'm doing well, sis. Thank you so much.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, I'm listening and I agree with you all. We have everyone running around. They're conscious now. They're conscious, but they're not awake. You know, it's totally different, you know. And I think the problem is, you know, the disconnect is that everyone wants to be a god for some, you know. I mean, we were told that we were all gods, but they actually taken it literally that they are God, you know, and that they have all the answers. When we know that knowledge is infinite, so how can you have all the answers, you know? So, you know, and my thing where I'm trying to get to and the people that I'm trying to connect to are the people who have the same spirit. Doesn't matter what clothing you wear, be Muslim, Christian, you know, Buddhist, whatever. It's that same divine spirit that dwells within us all that connects, and that spirit will control the way that your outcome. It will control you. You know, and, you know, that's how I came up, you know. I mean, I didn't read a lot of books in the beginning. I was taught, you know, from the day I was born, you know, by the Holy Spirit, you know, teaching and guiding me. And fortunate enough, you know, that I came from a seed in the womb that was just dynamic, you know. My parents, you know, they're all about, you know, their children and family and wholesomeness, you know. And my grandparents were slaves and my parents were sharecroppers. You know, I got to see a lot of things. And, you know, I could have been very, very, you know, angry and a racist and all that, and I had every right to. You know, I had family members hung and, you know, tarred and feathered, and, you know, I had to go and drink out of the water fountains, you know, because I couldn't drink. I mean, I had to go and drink where the mules and the horses drunk because I couldn't drink out the shiny water fountain because the blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, you know, she's like, ugh, I don't want to drink out, you know. And, you know, I actually went through all these things, you know. And then leaving the South and going to New York and being right smack in the civil rights movement where I met Malcolm X, you know, and I met, you know, my brother Farrakhan, you know, and it's just a wonderful thing. I hung with the Black Panthers, you know, doing things, you know, listening to them. But the spirit constantly led me, so I didn't join anything because I knew that my spirit was different from what they had in them. And I've always been led, you know, people with the same spirit as I do, you know, who truly have love, and we have to teach our people how to love themselves again instead of, you know, beating them up. You know, we've been beat up, you know, so much, and then we got our own brothers and sisters beating us up. You know, it's just ridiculous, you know, because everybody wants to be a god, you know, and to me, that's the problem, you know. Conscious, 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 that's all I'm hearing. Conscious, conscious, conscious. All right, let's get a new word now, you know.
That's true. And sister, one thing with that God thing, when Nick Rose get to going off, I hate to say that use the word, but when these people get to, I said people now, when these people get to using the terminology, say, well, yeah, well, I'm a God, okay, God put things in motion, God create things, God make things happen.
Yeah.
What are you making happen? What have you made happen? What are you creating? What are you doing?
Except for confusion.
So if you're a God. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So, you know, but they miss one thing, too. They hollering, yeah, we are God. But if they keep reading that scripture, it says that also in that scripture in Psalms, it said, but you should die like men.
That's right.
So you hollering like you are God, but it said, you shall die like men. So come on, God. You still a man also. So you got to do something physical here. You know what I'm saying? And you see, like she said, you know, the baby didn't get 3 square meals. That's still a manly thing or a humanly thing. You know, you still got to eat. And if you eating and you see a child walk by you who maybe not having a meal, can't you know what I'm saying? You got a whole box of chicken. You got an 8-piece chicken dinner. You straight. You by yourself with 8-piece chicken dinner. You see that child hungry. You can't get that child something, nothing to eat. I don't care if it ain't your child.
Come on.
And the thing said, am I my brother's keeper?
That's right.
We still family. Now, you know what I'm saying? We say we created in the image and likeness of God. And you say you are a God. God share things. God just didn't create this world and kept everything to himself. Because in the beginning, he said he gave man power and dominion. So he gave man a share at what he created. He created and he stepped back and let man ran it. Because what did he say? He told Adam to name everything. Even though God created it, he let Adam name the thing.
And that's what,
so, God, what are you creating?
Thank you. And that's what we as conscience or awakened people need to do. Start renaming things, because we are God. We can name things instead of saying we're in poverty. Now we can say that we are prosperous. You know, we have to rename those things. You know, that's what we can do. You know, and my thing is, you know, because I deal, you know, with spirits and principles, you know, and I speak to principles. I try to change the polarity. I don't try, I do. I change the polarity of negative principles and spirits, you know. And, you know, being one of a child as well, you know, being that my parents, my grandparents were slaves, my parents were sharecroppers, plenty of days, you know, we didn't have food to eat. But by the grace of God, you know, where we lived out there in the woods, there's just all kinds of fruits and vegetables and berries and, you know, and vegetables, you know, that we just ate from being out. You know, I remember getting up like 6:30 in the morning, out all day, eating full, you know, because there's just so much food, you know. And, you know, it's... But now it is so sad for me to look in my children's eyes now, and their eyes are like shark eyes. I mean, you know, and I hear you talking about the little girl cussing like a sailor. You know, I mean, she hear that from her parents, you know.
That's
and,
right.
You know, we got
That's
all
right.
these, you know what I'm saying? Huh? It's like, come on, you know. And my thing is, it scares me. I know I've been here plenty of times before, but this is my last go-round. And it scares me to think that, you know, when I leave and I hadn't done anything, I mean, what is going to be the future of our children with this mentality here today? You know, I mean, talk about self-destruction, you know. And it's just crazy. And then everybody's just thinking about sex now. They're thinking about this tailbone power. They give more power to the tailbone than anything else, you know. It's like...
That's true. Be true, sister. One thing, both of your sisters have shows, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I know Mocha Soul. I saw your show. Yeah, Mama Pearl. I saw your show. I also, and in both of your shows, you kind of deal with the same thing, same issues, trying to deal with hip.
Absolutely.
That?
Trying to awaken people. You know.
This is okay. I've been in this fight for a long time. And like I told you earlier, I used to have a show with a friend of mine, and we decided not to do it together. We're still friends. We just decided not to do it together anymore. So my show is just the Mocha Soul Show now, and I'm actually having a show next Saturday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I wanted to address us, those of us in the conscious community, to work harder. The summer started, the spring, the little girl that got killed in Detroit, many murders that have already happened, and the summer isn't official even yet, and hunger is still on the rise, lack of perception of education is still on the rise, and I just think this show, really, my objective is to approach those of us in the conscious community to step it up, straight up, and that's really what I wanted to talk about next Saturday. I will put my link in the room if it's okay.
Yeah, most definitely, yeah.
Okay, I have Blog Talk Radio. I'm actually going to have my chat room on my website this time, but I'll stream through BTR. So when you're in my chat room on themochasoulshow.com, I'm still streaming through BTR. So I'll put both links up in your chat room. Okay.
I am Mama Pearl, the ancient newcomer. I started my show in January. I was given permission from the Most High Highs to speak. You know, I've been in solitude and being ministered to by him for 3 years, you know, and I've been wanting to speak, and it's like, no, you can't speak now, no, you can't speak now, no, you can't speak now. Now you tell me to speak, and I'm just running. You know, and I know I hit a lot of nerves. You know, I keep saying I went to the back cave and turned on the lights, man. I got bats coming out everywhere, but it's all good, you know, because I've been prepared for this fight. You know, I am really prepared for this fight. You know, so it's all good. Just come on out. And I'm tired of the lies. You know, I see these devils. I can see. Not everybody can see, but this is one who can see. You know, and I'm ready.
That's true. Yeah, like any time that you may come on here on the Sunray Night Show, I don't care about your advertising on here, and that's what it's all about, because I want other people to share, you know, let people know they have shows and what you're talking about, so we can spread this thing all abroad. It's not, like I said, this show is not about me. It's never about me. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, that's why I love for people to, the other people to call us, to call in and share the input and help me. Like I said, because I'm a student myself.
Right.
I'm always a student. I'm trying to learn always. Even in my sleep, I'm learning. I ain't going to lie. I get affirmation and knowledge coming to me even in my sleep.
I hear
so
that, right.
I'm always trying to learn.
You know, because in your sleep, are you really sleeping? Are you really conscious or unconscious? Do you know which is which? You know?
Yeah.
And I listen to your shows, you know, and I felt your spirit, you know, and I would not have come on if I didn't think that, you know, we had an agreeable spirit. You know, and, you know, because I've been, you know, trapped up, you know, so many times. And not, you know, that I've been trapped up going, because, you know, I'm going to walk. I take the spirit with me. That's my sword wherever I go, you know.
That's
but right. I go in, you know, and then I'm unable to uncover these things that are not correct, you know. But, you know, your spirit felt good. So I'm like, okay. I was waiting tonight, you know. I thought, okay, it's Saturday night. You know, I could be doing some other things, but I'm waiting for my brother's show, you know.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I said, all praise to the Most High, you know, that he showed me a lot of discipline, because it was one particular time, but man, I can say I was a disagreeable spirit, but you know, I walked through so many things, and I was tried and tested in so many ways, and I had to humble myself, and man, I went, like I said, walking through the different schools that I walked through, and I can thank, like I said, a master teacher, Dr. Malachi Cabina-Yor, again, for teaching me so many things that he taught me in dealing with knowledge and walking me through so many different schools. And it actually taught me a lot and opened my mind up to a lot. So I cannot be closed-minded. I can learn a lot of different things. And it helped humble my spirit. And so that's why I'm able to reach out to, you know, people all abroad. So and I appreciate their coming, sister, because, you know, this is what I have to do to reach out to my people. I don't care. I have guys at time on at work, you know what I'm saying, who act harsh to me. But in the end, they see my, you know, the spirit that I have and the love that I really have for trying to help my people, you know what I'm saying. And then they just, man, okay, they just, you know, kind of, I said, submit.
That's right.
I said, okay, I see where this brother from, so I see where he's coming from, so hey.
I have
and,
a lot of
you know,
love for Dr. Malachi Z. York as well, you know, because one time I thought that I never met him, and I just remembered where I met him at, you know, when I was 15 years old in Manhattan, New York, you know, where we was able to, and we connected spiritually, you know, because I always had a spiritual connection with him, and I can feel him a lot of time, and we still communicate with each other. We honestly do, you know, and it's a good thing, and he opened up my eyes to so much, and I'll love him forever. You know, and I do know that he is a supreme being, you know. So it's a good thing, and, you know, and it's unfortunate. I've met a lot of his students. I've met a lot of them, you know, since I've been here, and I'm in Atlanta right now. And unfortunately, the ones that I've met, I don't know why they are so angry, and I know that that's not the spirit of my friend, you know, Dr. Malachi Z. York, you know. Because it came out doing a lot of wrong things, everything that I thought was wrong, you know, and it blew my mind. It actually knocked some of the wind out of me for a while, because I couldn't understand. I just couldn't see where all of this negative energy and force is coming from the master teacher teaching, you know, and I just, you know, just said all praise to the Most High. It's better that I never was under that umbrella, because, you know, I have a closer relationship with his spirit than they do. Because if you are walking with the master, how can your spirit be so ugly? That's ridiculous. That's a lie. I rebuke that spirit.
That's true. And like I said, you know, and he, one thing I can say, He taught a lot of things. He walked us through the different schools of Judaism. I mean, Christianity, Mosaism. We say Mosaism, Christianity, and Islam. And he opened our minds to a lot of other different, you know, schools of thought. But one thing, even with those schools, he was active in the community. If you go back and look at the things that he done in the community, you know, how he raised money. You know, like to think for different cancer patients. I have a brother who's on in the chat room, Brother Cabina Ray. He could help me out with this a lot. but how he was raising money for a lot of, you know what I'm saying, charities. Not just black, but white and black also, just for children with cancer, you know, sickle cell anemia. They was going to with senior citizens' home, helping with the senior citizens. He was actually active in the community, and this is one of the things that, like I said, they don't want us, the powers that be don't want us to do.
No.
You have a brother, you know, then following as he had, and who was actually doing something for our people. And waking up our minds of our people up, not just saying he was being conscious, but actually doing something. Cause that's what I'm saying. He was teaching our people, giving our people right knowledge, and at the same time, getting out physically, showing the people, okay, this is what you do with this knowledge. It's just not all about these books. This is what you do with that knowledge that you're getting. You know what I'm saying? Put it into practice.
Right.
Don't just say, hey, you read it. You know what I'm saying? You read about what Jesus did. You know, they used to have this motto, what would Jesus do? My thing was, quit asking what Jesus do. Wait, what did he do? And you do what he did.
Right.
That's just my thing.
And they can't help that, because when you become of a higher conscious mind, okay, you will begin to do like Jesus did, okay? I mean, you know, Jesus, he was for his people. But he had enough compassion that he will help anyone who truly believed on him and you know, and had that spirit, because he knew it was about the spirit within the individual, although he was for his people, you know. So,
indeed.
You know, and like I was saying, you know, I have every right to be the racist that I should have been, you know, by the world system, but because being of a higher conscious mind, when I was coming out, I was all about, you know, talking to my people, teaching my children about, you know, not just about who they are, because we have everyone teaching our children about who they are, but actually teaching them who the devil is, because this devil don't know who they are. They truly don't.
Mm.
They don't realize who they are, you know. And for me right now, one of the best movies that I've seen in a long time was Avatar. You know, and I thought it was a great movie. Now, if you want to see who the devil is, they're the same in that movie. The things that they've done and the instruction that they did. I think if I was that race, I would be so embarrassed of my people, because that's what they have been doing throughout history, you know.
Mm.
So, like I said, they forgot who they are. And once they realize who they are, then that will humble a lot of them. But we have an energy now, a spirit that doesn't care about color or body or, you know, anything like that. You know, they're just after humanity in a whole, as a whole, you know. So it's a totally different thing, you know. And if we just stop beating each other up and just love one another, like you say, and I respect that so much, and that's where I am. I'm here to learn. I'm still learning while I'm here, you know, and sharing what I can share. You know, but it's all about learning and growing together. No one has all the pieces. That's why it's a puzzle, you know.
That's true.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yeah. Oh, yes, go ahead. Sure.
Okay. Well, before I ask the question, I really want to make a comment. I mentioned earlier hunger, which is one of my personal missions, and I just encourage everyone to please, if you can, go to your local food pantry and donate food, canned goods, nothing that will perish for the children and the families in your community that are not eating well, are not eating 3 square meals a day. And, you know, if you go in your pantry, I'm sure there are things that you can part with. And fruit, a lot of the pantries are very leery about food that will spoil. So if you're going to take fruit, make sure it's fresh fruit, bananas, oranges, apples. They love oranges because oranges will last a little bit longer. But please, I'll put a link in your chat room if it's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Feedingamerica.org. Please, the thought of a hungry child is unacceptable to me.
Yes.
No child should be hungry. Also, besides that, if you guys will go to your nearest Salvation Army or Goodwill and find out when are their donation days, and be mindful of individuals in the community who are larger. I know that sounds silly, but a lot of the Salvation Armies and Goodwills don't always get clothing for big people. So if you know somebody who is rather large and you can part with some stuff,
give it to them. If you have a pair of pants or a shirt in your closet that you haven't worn in a year, you don't need it. You never looked at it. You didn't look at it in a year. You can part with it. Especially inmates. I want to bring up inmates if it's okay. I work with inmates. A lot of times they come out of prison, and we expect them to go out and get jobs, and a lot of individuals coming out of prison have never interviewed in their lives. They don't know what it is to have a button shirt and khakis, simple things that we may take for granted. And just if you have khakis or dark pants or shirts with buttons and ties or whatever that you can donate, I ask you to please. I work with inmates, and sometimes they, not sometimes, a lot of times, they're so confused and anxious when they come out. If you've done 30 years, 20 years, 15 years, you've been down for 10, you come out and the world has been past moving on without you, and you come out and you really, you don't have a clue. You know, you're going to need that extra help. So if you guys can just please, you know, look in your closet, look in your pantry, see what you can part with. And a lot of us, we can part with a lot of things. A lot of stuff we purchase, we really don't need. So that's all I wanted to add. You know, just be mindful of those that don't have. You know, God is good. A lot of us are so blessed to have so many things that we really don't even need and we can part with. And that's it. That's all from me.
I've been working, I've been fighting that fight for years, you know, teaching, you know, the inmates and, you know, a lot of our young men, you know, being that I've always been astute, you know, and very learned in the computer and software. I've had several computers in my home where I come in and I teach them and got them job ready and clothing and things of that sort. I don't like giving to Salvation Army or to Goodwill because they put such a price on their items that the people who go in there to purchase them, they can't even afford them. So what I did was I found I'm not done yet. I found churches.
Okay.
A lot of churches, wow. A lot of other places who were donating directly to the people in the street, in the hood. That's where I gave my goods, you know. So.
Okay. Well, let me say this. A lot of times, and where I live right now, organizations like Salvation Army and Goodwill do give out clothing vouchers that are for free. So I encourage you to go into those websites, give these organizations a call to find out. I don't think anyone should have to pay for donated clothes.
Right,
I think that's
right.
Crazy.
And
so if you go to call these, listen, give me a minute.
Yeah.
You call these organizations and you find out the days in which they give out free vouchers. Salvation Army, Monday through Friday from 8 o'clock a.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, they give out free vouchers. However, when you go to get the voucher, you have to bring your Social Security card, which a lot of people don't have. You bring your Social Security card, your ID, something to indicate who you are, who you say you are. And you fill out a paper, and they'll give you a free voucher. But you have to also take that voucher and go into the store to use the voucher. Sometimes that store may not open up quite that early. So you get the voucher. You might have to stand around for a little while. But I tell people all the time, don't worry about it. Just wait around and get that voucher because it's for free. I think that those organizations, they do sell stuff. They do sell clothing, food, furniture, stuff like that. But if you don't have money, you shouldn't have to pay for anything. So if you go into Goodwill, ask the days that they're giving out the free vouchers. Usually it's very early in the morning, so you have to be online because they only give out a certain amount a day. They're not going to give out 10, 20. They're going to give about 5, 6, 7. So you want to encourage people to be online before they open their doors. That way they're number one. That way they're going to get that voucher and be able to use it. Oh, definitely, sis. I understand where you're coming from. If it's about a price, that's crazy. You're supposed to be helping. Give it away. Give this stuff away.
Well, you know,
now, during the regular
before.
Hours, they're going to sell it. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But I never knew that before. That was good information.
I
didn't know that they were giving out.
A lot of places, but it's just that when I tell people to call them to find out their hours that they're giving out vouchers because a lot of times they'll show up at 10 or 12 and it's done, and they only give out a certain amount a day, so you have to find out their times. I know where I am. They give out free vouchers, like, really early in the morning. I tell the guys all the time, you have to hurry up, because if you get there, like, 1 minute after, they might be done with them. So, yeah,
right.
Definitely free vouchers, definitely.
Thank you. That was good information. I see someone call up with hands 111, and I'm coming right at you. I just want to make a statement, too. And like you said, if there's an organization, like she's saying, if you don't really trust the Goodwill or one of those organizations, I suggest, and I've you know, done it, not to take a pat on the back, but, like, I see people, like, who go to those homeless shelters, and people actually on the street. If I have some clothing or a jacket or anything that I might want to give away, and the people I actually see is on the street, and there's homeless who I see sleeping on the bridges or whatever on side of the road, I mean, you can donate it, just give it to them personally.
That's right.
So that is you know, another avenue. But, I thank you for the information, you know, for sharing with my Salvation Army, because I didn't know that either. Okay, I have a caller with all ones. I'm coming right at you and open your line up now. Yes, greedy. Let's see. Sorry, I'm trying to get your line open. It don't want to open all ones. Let's see. Yes, greetings. You're on the Sunray 9 show. Yes, greetings.
Hey, how you doing? How's everybody tonight? Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Oh, I was just saying, how's everybody tonight? I would like for all of you to educate me on why what's the importance of helping people if you don't even got your own, if you don't even got yourself together.
Okay, that's universal law. It's a universal law, you know. I mean, we all have needs, you know, but universal law is that when you let go of something in your left hand, you can always get something back in your right hand. And you've given not to expect to receive. You give, and that's what happens for me. Whenever I give something not expecting to receive anything back, I end up getting so much more. And this is just universal laws and principles.
Indeed.
Okay, anybody else?
Indeed. Ask the caller, what was your name? May I ask that question?
Oh, this is Mickey in your chat room.
Okay, are you in the chat room? Okay. Yeah. Okay, you in the chat room? You said, I don't believe in saving people, and people need to liberate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, see, that is the problem. When we say that people need to liberate themselves, I mean, people, you don't believe in saving people. Okay, that's your prerogative. And you said people need to liberate themselves. But our thing is, and you said you have your own liberation to tend to. And another thing, now I go back to the definition I said that Webster defined when he said liberate, he said to set free or release. So a lot of people don't know that they need to be set free from something. So what are you, what are you trying to liberate yourself from? Now, when I look at, I was kind of stating when I was saying liberate our people. I kind of look at the conditions our people in. You know, we are kind of, as our teachers say, under a spell of ignorance or under a spell of sleep, what they say, Leviathan. A lot of people are under the spell of religious doctrine. They're under many different spells that people are under and don't even actually realize it. And, you know, you got a lot of, like, hip-hop. Some people into this hip-hop thing, and they thinking they got to be gangsters and this and that. And there's another spell.
Don't you think religion and entertainment is the two easiest platforms to really blame for why people do the things they do or think the way they think?
Let's see. I'm sorry, because I'm really on this headphone. I'm having a problem here. Let me switch out phones. One second.
Well, I can tell you that people took religion out of context because true religion is visiting the orphans and the widows and helping them in their afflictions. Now, that's religion. Now, man created all these other authorities and terminologies, you know. So I don't deal with that, you know.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm stating to you is, don't you think those are the two easiest mediums that people use for why one acts viciously towards another one is religion and entertainment?
I agree. I definitely agree.
That's true.
Well, if you go deeper, can't we say that this is truly just these folks being living basically in poverty? Which is why people act very hostile towards one another,
And religion is nothing more. And religion can be nothing more than a tool to use towards people who are in a depressed state at the lowest point in their lives to basically convince them that something out there looking after you. I'm talking about they manipulate the concept of religion towards their best advantage. You know, to take advantage of the poor.
I agree.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, we got to look at some people like in our communities. You know, some people don't even subscribe to religion at all. A lot of people you see now, they don't even care about religion at all. And
right.
You know, when they're doing a lot of things, and we see a lot of things they're doing, and we can't say okay, they subscribing it to a religious doctrine, because you know a lot of people don't even care about religion no more. A lot of people have actually broken their spell, but there's a lot of other things that is holding them down. That has them under a spell. So we can't really say nowadays we can blame it all on religion, because a lot of our younger youth are really not under that religious mindset as a lot of our elders that came before us, and even myself, I was under that spell at one particular. So you know, they're coming in, man, eyes wide open. You know what I'm saying? they're not gonna get into that doctrine anymore. You can't really get into them with religion, but as other spells that got them, you know.
One could state black unity as a doctrine too, as a spell as well. Somebody could say the same as for black unity, just like somebody could say the same for La Raza. Somebody could say the same for the Taliban extremists. You could say a lot of things are a doctrine.
How could you say that black unity, loving yourself, could be a doctrine?
Because it's a spiritual practice. It's a practice, a ritual. It's a ritual that you would want to liberate others, and that can actually turn into a psychological path of you basically wanting, you know, black people to live the way you see fit. That's how that could become a religion.
Okay,
let me go back to black extremist groups.
If you see, now you've been I don't know enough for sure now. But if you say you're a black man yourself, and you see your other black family, not just your cousin, mother, but you see your other black family that's going through something, being oppressed, being having injustices happening to them, you don't feel the need to try to do something about it? Because, you know, we could have had all our leaders that came way before us just so they could have said to hell with these Negroes and just live their life. They didn't have to die trying to, you know what I'm saying, to do things like Martin Luther King. We're talking about civil rights. He seen that he was threatened. His life was threatened on a daily. He didn't have to keep on, you know what I'm saying, putting his life on the line so that you can have what you call civil rights. He could have just stopped at any time he wanted and just said, man, hell with these Negroes. Some of these folks don't care one way or another. But he had that love and compassion for his people. But he was just speaking about all people, for a matter of fact. Whether, you know, it didn't matter what color they were. Mm-hmm. So he had a love and compassion. But you had a lot of leaders, they had a love and compassion because they were seeing the injustice that was being done to people. So,
uh-huh.
And that's just myself. But I look at it, I'm starting with my people. You know, I see a lot of other people, they're white people, Chinese, a lot of people, they're going through things. They you know what I'm saying, a lot of people are suffering. But I'm just talking about my individual people. You know, the black people. I'm going to say black, you know, people might say other things. The Nubian people.
I
had to start with self. Because we said love thyself. So I start with self first.
Yeah, we have to.
I have a compassion, man. I can't say, you know what I'm saying? Like you say, the Bible says, how can I love God who I never seen and hate my brother who I see every day?
Uh-huh.
If I see my brother suffering, I say I love God. How can I, you know what I'm saying? How can I sit back and I feel at ease? I can't do that, brother. I can't sleep good at night like that.
Come on.
You know, I don't care what my brothers do out here in the street. You know, we do a lot of disagreeable things, but I still have a compassion for my brothers, and I want them to be able to change themselves. So,
I don't think it's necessary. Well, for me personally, I can't speak for you or nobody else, but I personally feel it's necessary for me to see somebody want to change themselves. I mean, to me, that brings no type of self-fulfillment for me personally, because I could care less one way or another. As long as I'm doing what I have to do for myself. But on retrospect to what you basically said, I understand where this type of emotion, you know, I understand where it stemmed from. But if it's one thing I've learned is that when you care for others too much, you try to help others too much, that's when you kind of pull yourself back to a large extent. So that's why I never really cared for helping for people. Period. It's just that basically, if I don't know you, I truly see no need to help you, no matter who you are. But that's just my intake.
So you're in a service to self mode, STO, service to self. You know,
myself and family, you family by that.
Okay. So by helping yourself, you know, doing some things for yourself and your family, prayerfully or positive things, you know, other people can feed off of your residue, so to speak.
Can you clarify what you mean by that?
Well, you're in this service to self mode. You're going to help yourself to do better and your family.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do the best for yourself and your family. But there are entities and energies all around you who's going to see what you're doing if it's a positive, and they're going to, you know, feed off of whatever that you are not using, because you're not going to be able to use everything. And there are, you know, so there's energies and spirits, whether you see it or not, that are feeding off of the things that you're doing. So,
okay.
I mean...
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that made me so. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and to each his own, we're all different. You know, like the brother said, you know, if all of our elders in the past, if they had taken on that same attitude that you have right now, we'd still be in the master's kitchen and out in the fields, you know.
Not necessarily true.
You know.
That's not true. Because society always evolves and laws constantly change. Laws are a form of philosophy, so that it wouldn't have stayed the same way as people think that it would have. It wouldn't have stayed the same way.
Hmm.
We would have still came towards this point with or without them.
With or without them, we would have gotten to the point where the chains are actually gone off of us physically, although they're still on us mentally, but they're gone physically.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Because the world at that point was recognizing human rights.
Mm. Well, brother, let me ask you this question. Well, brother, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard about this bill? Well, the brothers had this actually had the letter, and the letter that was written by advisor of this in the Obama administration, and there's a bill that's supposed to be on his table about reinstalling chattel slavery. So if that bill has been put on the table, and you saying that we would have gotten over without them, how could a bill be put back on the president's table to put us back in chattel slavery if we would have overcame it anyway?
You have to give me the name of that bill, but if it's anything,
I tell you, you go to the site. It's the site. It's the Hiram's 1555
uh-huh.
blog. Like,
okay.
Yes, it's Hiram's, H-I-R-A-M, Hiram's 1555 blog. And look it up. It's an article now. I think they got it in the archive. And it's supposed to have been some advisor who written the article. And they got it off, I'm going to say, like a big name news site. And it is on there. And they said the first place they will be implemented would be in Washington, D.C., which is a predominantly black city. And so these are the things that they have. Like I said, there's a lot of things that's on the table that they have implemented for us to be put in play. And like I said, we have to research and study it. You know what I'm saying? It's just not for me to just throw it out here. Like I say, like our master teacher told us, you know, don't believe me, check it out. So I gave you the website to check it out. You can check it out. So that's why I say it.
Don't you believe that it could be a reference towards prisoners?
No, sir, because it was naming. T got into details because she was naming basically how the people they was actually going to put be using for one thing. She was mentioning like people who was homeless. Let me see. Then it was another thing that. People who had actually dropped out of school.
Mm-hmm.
It was named a lot of things, and the slavery was going to be. Yeah, there you go. and they was going to be working for, like, corporate, these corporate companies, like changing, like, say, like, in the senior citizen home, changing, you know, their diapers, and you working for a lot of these big corporate companies, you know, making their coffee. And they said, in the change, you will be given room and board.
Well, it goes even further than that. You'll be given room and board, and you're also going to be used as food.
So these are some of the things that
those people aren't productive in society, so why not?
So you agree with that?
I see nothing wrong with it.
It all depends now. We got different levels, you know, of consciousness and awareness going, because on one hand I can certainly see what you're saying too, because, you know, knowing that we are this spirit within a body, so releasing the spirit from this body is not a horrible thing. Because I tell people every day, you know, that, you know, if you have nothing to die for, you truly don't have anything to live for, because I'm not afraid of having my spirit released from this body. So if you think that I am something to be reckoned with now, what do you think is going to happen when my spirit is released? You know. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. So, brother, I gotta go back to that question. So you said they are useless. Basically, they're kind of useless to society if they're homeless and so forth like that in that nature. I'm trying to really understand this.
I mean, my views are very unpopular, of course, but these are my views, and yes, I truly believe that they are useless towards society. They're not counterproductive, is what I'm saying. So I see why not. If I was in a higher echelon of power, I would view those type of people as no reason for even living, if you ask me.
Now, I will say this. Now, it's like I said, that's your opinion. But like I said, okay, just because you see a person on the street every day, and I noticed, and I've had this experience. It was a guy I seen when I was growing up. He was on the street every day. And, you know, we used to call him a bum and this and that. But the guy, we finally started speaking to him and talking to him. Man, the guy was giving us so much knowledge and information. And as we got older, you know what I'm saying, the things that he said, it came to pass, and we just pondered on a lot of things he said. And years later, he came out. This guy was—he used to be a lawyer. So, like, a lot of things can happen to people, but you never know. You can't judge people. Like I said, my teacher said this too. Also, and I quote him a lot. And he said, "You got to be careful because you never know when you're entertaining an angel. You might be seeing this person that you might walk past that alleyway and see this person laying there. You never know where he's going at night. How know he's homeless?
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm 39.
I am 54, all praise to the Most High Highest. You know, when I first moved to New York City, coming from the South, you know, when I first moved to New York City, that was a total culture shock for me. But there was this man, he was a bum, and it was hot, and he would be laying in the streets. I'm telling you, he had coats on and everything on, and he was smelling bad. And I would sit down on the sidewalk in the street and talking to him. And my mother used to scold me for talking to this man. He's not a good bum. But I felt his spirit. And let me tell you that I've had a few times, you know, because since I was a child, I had all these pimps and things chasing me down, promising me the world. This man has saved my life on many occasions, you know, and he was just phenomenal. He was just phenomenal, you know, and then he never talked to me, but I would talk to him, you know, and it was, and I just felt his spirit, and we just lived off of that like that, you know, and I know he looked out for me, and he's probably looking out for me now. You know, so.
Indeed. Never know who these people are. Okay, I got, man, the lines are lit up. I'm going to let some more callers come in. I got two 901s. On the 901, I'm just going to do your last four. And I got area code 901. Your last four is 7115. I'm opening your line up, coming right at you now. Yes, greetings. You're on the air with Sun Ray, Brother Sun Ray.
All right, family. All right. I hate to cut that one off, man. Hey, That was it. We got 9 minutes, and I just want to say something right there, because this, y'all can go back in the archives and listen to the whole show, actually, because I want to say a good word before we get out of here. See, we had, I just wanted to play that one tonight, y'all, to let y'all see that Culture Freedom Radio, we have always been for the people. I'm going to say it one more time. We have always been for the people and reaching out and teaching our people. That's what we always said. When we say basically Culture Freedom and Culture Freedom Radio, you know, it was about us as a so-called African people, you know, whatever we want to describe ourselves as. Y'all know, because a lot of people want to play goddamn word games. But it's our culture freedom. As a people, we come from different native, you know, tribes and all of this stuff, you know, communities. But it's all about us as a people. I'm talking about us, the melanin-like people, the dark-skinned people, as us. For us to be able to practice our culture with the freedom that we must have to be able to practice it. So this is why we culture freedom. I don't give a damn what tribe you from. You could be from the Bantu, Zulu, shit, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But you need to be able to practice your culture with the freedom that you want, that was just given to you by nature. You know what I'm saying? So this is what culture freedom is all about. We linking up with our people first. Our people first. You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to link up with every goddamn body else and bring them in our kitchen, cooking in our damn pots, eating off our goddamn plates before we even sit down and eat. You know what I'm saying? And that was the brother, he told us, he was telling me a couple of weeks ago that we, man, black folk, we need to clean up with our act. We need to do this and do that. I said, yeah, brother, we need to. Yeah, you're right about that. But first of all, we got to start with ourselves. We got to do this. We can't bring in any outside sources. No, we can't be able to do that. What you saying? We can't bring white folks in to help. We're going to need some of them. No, that's your goddamn problem. You're going to go to the very motherfuckers that put you in the fix to get you out of the fix. See what I'm saying? You go to the motherfucking drug dealer to ask him to help you get off of drugs. Are you fucking crazy? Excuse me, family. Excuse me. That. Savannah Black, you got me cussing. You got me back. You got me cussing. Hey, but you're going to go to this fool, the very people that put you under the spell of that goddamn white Jesus. I said it, y'all. I said it. And it ain't about that Jesus. Let me say that. It's about that image, y'all. It's about that image. So some of y'all get it twisted, because I know some of y'all are so damn conscious and so educated, you can't even understand a word. You get caught up on one word. One word, and your ass get lost. It's thousands of words in the dictionary. You get stuck on A. You get stuck on the first word or first two words in there, Akbar, and you can't go no motherfucking way else in the dictionary. Damn. Yeah. But see, this, like I said, just one more time, y'all. See, Mama Pearl, y'all heard Mama Pearl, man, been going in. That ancient newcomer been going in for a long time. See how she even walked with Brother Malcolm, met the Brother Malcolm, been there with the Black Panther Party. Mama Pearl is still out on the forefront, y'all. Out on the forefront doing her thing. She ain't just telling y'all no shit just on blog talk. Mama Pearl out there in the community doing stuff. You know what I'm saying? For real. So we've been doing stuff at Culture Freedom Radio. Now I'm going to say it like P. Diddy be saying, y'all, can't stop, won't stop. Culture Freedom Radio ain't going to stop. We ain't going to stop, y'all. We're going to keep on, and we're going to keep on linking up with other sisters and brothers, and I appreciate my brother Savannah Black. Man, y'all go over there and check my brother out, Savannah Black Conscious Attack, too. When he says Savannah Black Conscious Attack, he mean just what the hell he say. He mean what you say. You can't go over there and listen to that show, y'all. If y'all, you real soft-hearted, and you easily to get offended because this person might say certain word, you might don't even go over there. I'm telling you, don't even go over there, because if you can't take it, you can't take constructive criticism. I'm just telling you right now. I'm putting a warning label on it. Don't take your ass over there, because he's going to say something. He's going to say a lot, but he's going to say something that might hit you. It's like, y'all remember, like they just say, I don't know if y'all ever been to church, but a lot of people, you say when you sit in the church, it seemed like the preacher preaching right at you, his sermon preaching right at you. You sit in the seat squirming, and she's like, how in the hell he know I did that? Like he talking directly to you. Like, I better straighten myself up. I think this message was for me. Yeah, so sometimes, well, a lot of Savannah Black, you're going to go on there. Sometimes it's going to seem like his message is hidden directly towards you, like he put that show up directly towards you. So you're going to be squirming in your love seat. You're going to be squirming on your couch and shit, thinking about, how the hell Savannah Black know I did this? but it's all for to help us as a people. We ain't looking for no outside sources to come help us. No. We're going to start with self. That's what we all about. This is what Culture Freedom is all about. And I'm going to tell you, y'all, I'm going to let y'all sit. I'm going to sit this right here on the airways. Everybody, even on Culture Freedom Radio, y'all, ain't in your best goddamn interest. Y'all figure that shit out for yourself. It ain't in our best interest for all of us. We don't all agree on these radio stations. You know what I'm saying? I just give people a voice. And it's up to you to figure out which voice you want to hear from and which voice resonate with you. I'm going to leave it at that right there. I could go in deeper, but I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to touch that. That's why I didn't really want to talk tonight. I just wanted to play that old shows and give y'all something. I just wanted to give y'all a little something. Yeah, as I always, peace and love to our sister Teresa in the house. Sister Shell, glad to see you back in the house. The guests in the house, our brother Savannah Black. Y'all, don't forget, y'all. Let me get this rundown right fast. Man, Mama Pearl will be back in the house, y'all, on this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. Central time. I mean, 8 p.m. Eastern time, y'all, for Strange Fruit Rising, because, yeah, it was some strange fruits hanging from them trees. Them strange fruit was us. It wasn't no pomegranate. It wasn't no apples. That was our people hanging from them trees, y'all. Hey, Strange Fruit Rising, y'all, right there on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern time, y'all. And, man, don't forget one time, too, y'all. Go and listen to my brother, Savannah Black. I'm going to say it one more time, y'all. Savannah Black, Country Tag. And go back and listen to Mama Pearl Show last Thursday. And go back and check out Brother Savannah Black's show, y'all. At the whole show was great. But that first 30 minutes or so, I mean, y'all want to get a good laugh. It was hilarious because he came with the Savannah Black. He tried to change it up. Since people didn't like the Conscious Attack, he tried to come with the Savannah Black Love Attack. And people just weren't going with that. The sister's like, I told y'all, the sister don't play that bull. If y'all want to know something real, ask them sisters. The sister going to tell y'all, hell no, we ain't going with that. So y'all be playing these sisters. Y'all think they want to, you know what I'm saying? Y'all talk about they got the weave in their hair, they got the nails and shit. Shit, the sister going to tell y'all, a real sister, let me say that. So them sisters were like, hell no, brother. You better change that shit back to Conscious Attack. We ain't used to that type of shit. You better go on back to the Conscious Attack. We want you to keep it real. Like they say, I want a real man. Oh, they wanted some real talk. Yeah. So they told Savannah Black, you better change that. Ain't no goddamn Love Attack up in here. We love to hear you attack things. Yeah, that's what they want. They want to hear that real. So go in there and check it out, y'all. Man, last Saturday, man, I enjoyed it, man. It had me falling down my damn seat laughing, you know what I'm saying? So go and check that out, family. And like I said, Mama Pearl had the living legends on there, the Fergusons, y'all, Mr. Herman Ferguson and his mate. Man, I can forget I always how to pronounce that name. But go ahead and check it out, y'all, real freedom fighters. Hey, y'all, like I said, this has been, man, another outstanding broadcast. We appreciate y'all for supporting us right here at Culture Freedom Radio Network. Man, we'll be back, and we're going to be black in the house. I know y'all don't like that word, but the hell with it. We're going to be black in the goddamn house. Black as the goddamn skies if you go outside right now. We're going to be black in this goddamn thing. Like my black military boots. Yeah, I'm going to be black in this thing, y'all. Lacing them up, tightening them up, getting out in the fields, y'all. See y'all out there in the battlefield. This has been Free Your Mind, and we damn sure need to free our mind because a lot of folks don't want us to think. Unless we thinking like they goddamn slave master. Y'all out y'all goddamn mind. Yeah. This like, hey, Black Liberation Show, y'all. We need some liberation up in here. And it's showing up. And we're going to be liberated. It's going to be some black liberation, y'all. Thank y'all for joining in right here to Culture Freedom Radio Network. Y'all, hey, for Free Y'all Mind Radio. I have been Sunday Ray 9, my sister Mama Pearl. Man, showing y'all how we do it old school, y'all. Taking it back. Showing y'all. We ain't never wavering in our damn our way of thinking. We ain't never going back on our people. We going to fight for our people to the goddamn day we die. Like they said in the street, y'all, to the casket drop. That's how we going to do it. Yeah, we don't die. We going to multiply. Black Power Family, y'all, I'm up out of here. Let me get the hell out of here, y'all. Peace.